And praise the Lord, everybody. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord with you today. I appreciate very much the opportunity to be in Universal City with you. My name's Dr. Fred Childs from Houston, Texas, and I'm going to be speaking to you on a topic that many of you suggested or requested when you were polled as to what you'd like to be taught. And today, my topic is going to be dealing with grief and loss. And I know, because of our ages, probably no one in this sanctuary has lived through life without having to deal with some sort of grief, loss, pain, suffering, etc. So I believe that God will use me today to say something that might point a direction and encouragement to you, might even provide the answer for what you're looking for. I'm going to begin reading a few verses. Ecclesiastes 4, verse number 1 says, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of the oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter." So the oppressors had great power, but their victims were helpless, and they had no comforter. And then there are people throughout the ages that have been oppressed, done wrongly. Injustices have happened, not just in modern times, but throughout the history of the world. We can look at the first family, Adam and Eve. Injustice occurred when Cain slew his own brother. And today, many people in this world, especially if they don't have the knowledge of God, they're without hope, they're without comfort. But such is not the case of a Christian. We have great hope, amen, and we have a comforter. John 14, verse 26, Jesus said, "But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," and then in verse number 8 of John 14, Jesus also said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And I know that he has. Today, what I'm going to talk to you about would have been very easy for me to cheat on, because literally you could just take a computer or your phone. You can Google how to deal with pain, sorrow, loss, etc. And you can find a plethora of different topics and subjects, and many of them very, very good. Many of them could help. My own library, I have a pretty good sized library at home. I have a lot of information on this topic. I've got lots of seminar material and reference material. But I chose to do it differently today. Rather than go to those resources, I want to go to the well of my own experiences. And I want to share some things with you that I've learned along my journey. And I pray that it can help you, because I've had to deal with grief and sorrow, loss, pain, and suffering in my life. Nobody's exempt to it. And there's no teacher like experience sometimes. Sometimes you have to go through something before you can truly give out to somebody else. And I hate to say it, if I'm going by that measure, I think I'm pretty much an expert when it comes to grief and suffering and loss sometimes. It started early with me. The day that I was born, injustice started happening to me. Amen. But because the doctor is a country doctor, and he wanted to go hunting. He had a hunting trip planned. And he literally became angry when my mother let him know that she was coming in to have a baby. And back in that day, forceps were used. And he was so angry that he jerked me out, severely damaging my head and literally severely wounding my mother. And for 2 weeks, she couldn't even get out of bed. So my life started like that, you know. And then I think it just kind of went downhill in ways. We were good people, but it seemed like tragedy followed me. At the age of 19 months, wasn't supposed to live. Sickness, disease got a hold to me. Gangrene filled my body cavity, intestine, stomach, etc. I curled up into a fetal position. I died. I was prayed back into life. Doctor said my brain was completely destroyed four different specialists analyzed me, said I had no brain activity whatsoever. My only activity was agonal breathing. They operated on me, removed much of my intestines. My appendix had burst 4 days before the surgery. On and on and on. Fever too high to survive. But God healed me. At the age of six, I was almost, amen. He did. He healed me instantly. That's why I'm here today. Hallelujah. But at the age of six, I was almost burned to death. I had gasoline poured on me by my own self accidentally. My older brother tripped me in the backyard. My mother came out, tore my clothes off, and spared me. My head, my hands, my face were all burnt. My hair was burnt. But the real damage you can't see. You don't see any of that. It went away. But I had beyond third-degree burns over much of my body and dozens of reconstructive surgeries and so on and so forth, and overdoses of drugs and given wrong blood transfusions multiple times. I'm just glad to be here today. Praise God. Amen. My mom and dad divorced. We went through a lot of hardship as young people. And wonderful mother, wonderful father, but stuff happens. Career moves that kept me lonely, separated from my family oft times for very extreme amounts of times. The deaths of family members. I've officiated over 20 personal family member funerals. That hurts. Hurts greatly because I've got the same feelings and care as you. Abandonment by peers, because sometimes if God uses you, that just happens. And the list could be exhaustive, and I'm not trying to have a pity party on me. I said all that because some of you don't know me, and I want you to know if you've hurt, yeah, I have too. And I know what it's like to weep until you have no more power to weep. This year has not even been an exception. It began with my beautiful, handsome nephew, Trent. In a home invasion in his own home, a young man his age came in who had never seen before. He didn't even feel threatened until the young man pulled a gun on him unexpectedly. He thought he was going to rob him. No, he came to shoot him. The first bullet between his eyes, the gun misfired, popped like a firecracker. The shell did not come out, but the smoke and the fire did. But the next five bullets hit my nephew and did massive damage. But I'm here to praise God. He's made a full recovery. And I give God praise. Hallelujah. My son, my fiance, 2 months ago on the 27th, were in a severe car wreck. She's had over 100 grand mal seizures ever since, and they still haven't been able to really help her very much. But my son's neck was severely broken in three places and dislocated. And the doctor was one of the top several in the nation that did the surgery. Thank God. And he said, out of thousands of surgeries, and I've flown all over the country, he said, I can't say that I've seen more than five with that kind of damage that they weren't either dead or paralyzed from the neck down. My son's going to make a full recovery, and I give God praise for that. Amen. And then we went through Hurricane Harvey, 50-plus inches of rain at my house, and we had some relatives and many friends that flooded. We did not flood. And on the top of this list, you know, besides my mother almost passing away this year, my brother, 1 month ago today, my older brother that saved me in that backyard, my hero in life, passed away. And I thank God for the legacy he left, but I took part in his memorial service, and it was an honor to do it, but it's hard on you sometimes when you love someone. But I want to give God praise because his wife, my wonderful, beautiful sister-in-law, and my precious niece, his only child, and her two sons are in Sunday school, and they're here today. And I want to give God praise for them because they're letting God be their strength. Praise the Lord. So here's why I said all of that. I am a happy guy. I choose to be happy. It's my decision to be happy. Now, stuff happens, and I have my bad moments, but I'm a happy guy, and the Lord is my helper, no doubt about that. But just like I choose to be a happily married husband devoted to my wife of 42 years, I am a happy guy. Amen. Because the alternative would not help me. It would only hurt me. Amen. But you've got to get to the place that you make up your mind that none of these things shall move me. You've got to get there. Nobody can do that for you. You have to understand and say it personally that God is with me and God is for me. You have to begin to believe that, because it may rain on the just and the unjust. It may, bad things may happen to good people just like you, but you have to determine, I shall find the good and I shall praise the Lord. Amen. And if you can just begin to get to that place and not be angry at God, I'm going to deal with that, but don't be angry at God, because that's where your hope is. Adversity shall not destroy you if you learn to turn it to victory. You can be stronger in the broken places, and you will. You can get to the point that the things that almost ruined you, made you bitter, caused you to be angry, those are the things that God allowed. He doesn't do them to you. No, he don't. Because the Bible said that he tempteth no man. God is not tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But God will allow things in our lives that come because of sin, separation from God. If you want to blame somebody, blame the devil. But God will deliver you if you allow him to turn it to victory. And your broken places will become the strong places of your future and will become your testimony. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And everything you're going through in a hard time, only God could make it work out for good. Only he could put the pieces of that puzzle together. Praise God. There's a man in the Bible named Samson. One day a lion roared against him, which means it was close and it was in attack mode. It was going to kill him. Samson, the anointing of God moved on him. He tore the lion. He killed the lion. He left it there. Later in the journey, he stopped and turned aside to see what happened to the carcass of the lion. The Bible said that the honeybees had got in it. It was a honeycomb, and there was honey in the comb. So he took that honey, ate of it, it strengthened him, and then he took it and gave it to his parents that were traveling with him. The point is, sometimes you have to get through your trial and come back later and see what God has done, and let the sweet come forth from the bitter. Let the sweet come forth out of the hardship. There's a collateral beauty that cannot be denied. Amen. So I'm going to talk to you about 12 things of how to deal with grief, loss, and things in your life. And I'm going to make these brief and simple because I've got somewhere else I want to take you. Number one, this is for all of us. Life won't be always like you want it to be. It's just not going to always work out the way you want it. Sometimes a wrench is going to get thrown into it. Sometimes tragedy, etc., are going to happen. But I want you to know this. You are not alone. Help is available. In this world, there are counselors, there are professionals, there are people. And let me just say this. Before you would hurt yourself, find help. Seek help. You're valuable. You're worth it. You know, there's a lot of sources out there. Find it. Search for it. Above all, let God help you. You're a Christian. God can help you. And I'm going to show that later in testimony, because God cares. And God does deliver, and God does heal. So let God help you if things don't work out like you think it should. And number two, point number two, we won't always be exempt from pain and grief. I wish we could. I wish it had never visited my house or my family. I wish I didn't have a severely handicapped little grandchild that the doctor said they've never seen a brain like Landon's. He's got so many problems. My four-year-old grandchild will never walk on his own unless God heals him because of cerebral palsy and other things. It grieves me to get around him. Nobody, and I love him with all my heart, but I want to fix him so much. But it grieves me because I can't. But my God can't. But in the meantime, I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to love him. We were designed to grieve. And when you go through something, you have to get it out. You need to eventually grieve. Don't hold it in. It will harm you. You can break that way. So let yourself grieve. Begin to do things so that you can heal and move forward. Number three, life is not always fair. Quit thinking it's fair for somebody else. It's not fair for everybody all the time. Your life could be perfect today and horrific before this evening's over. So it just happens to people, okay? And sometimes it's a consequence of our choices, circumstances, situations. There's too many ingredients there. But Isaiah 53:3, it says of Jesus himself, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus never did no wrong. He didn't do any wrong to anybody. Jesus only served, helped, healed, provided for, taught, instructed, and yet he was rejected, and he dealt with grief, and he dealt with sorrow. He was acquainted with it. It was around him all the time. But you know what it did? It made him become a better minister. And whenever you're going through something, you're getting a portrait of what God wants to use you in. Because after you get through it and God delivers you, all of a sudden you begin to be able to minister to somebody else going through a similar situation. Because now you can look at them and you can say, I understand what you feel because I've been through the same thing and I thought I was going to die. But God delivered me and God will deliver you. And you'll be able to minister to them because you'll have understanding. And besides that, if life is not always fair to you, before you just think it's only you, join the company of millions of people today that feel the same way. Praise God. Number four, others can't always comfort us. They can't always comfort you. Sometimes we have a dependency, some of us, maybe it's our temperament, our personality, to overly cling to someone else like a lifeline. That can only work to an extent, but sooner or later, you have got to grow up and you have got to take ownership of it and you've got to get over it and you've got to learn to break a codependency. Some people are rescuers and they stay in rescue mode and they get fed off of rescuing someone like you or he or she that are in a real crisis mode, and it becomes such an addiction that nobody really ever makes it forward because the rescuer gets addicted to rescuing and the one being rescued gets addicted to being rescued, and it's a vicious, ugly cycle. You've got to get over letting others comfort you. Sooner or later, if you're going to heal, you're going to have to get it on your own. And then, number five, we have to comfort ourselves. Do the right things. Do the right, make the right habits happen in your life. Quit avoiding things. Go ahead and take care of stuff. Go ahead and order your life right. Read the right things. Read some positive things. Read the Word of God. Listen to the right things. Cut off the negative voices. Amen. This is just a truism today. If you're already depressed because you're going through something, don't watch too much news or media. They're just going to depress you more. We live in a very depressing world right now, but it's not as bad as that whenever you back off and it's you and God and you're doing the right things. All of a sudden, things bothering everybody else don't bother you no more. Amen. Don't vegetate. Set some goals physically, spiritually, emotionally, and reach forward for those. Encourage yourself. David encouraged himself in the Lord at the lowest point of his life when his friends were going to stone him. He lost everything he had. He'd run from Saul for years. It was totally bad, depressing for him. But he encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and immediately, within a few hours, David and his men recovered everything they had lost, and a few days later, they put the crown of king upon his head. Why? Because he refused to die in his dilemma, but to encourage himself in the Lord his God. So you have to comfort yourself. Number six, we have to turn it over to God and take it out of the hands of others. That includes even out of our own hands. Sometimes it's hard to let go when an inevitable event happens and we lose someone, for example. But after that, there's another letting go. Sooner or later, we have to let go in order to move forward. And the amazing thing is, whenever we finally begin to do that, which takes a little grieving and a little of this and that, but once we finally do, the baggage drops off of us, because it's amazing with time how that some of the bitter, some of the angry, some of the hard things we forget about, and the good and the sweet starts coming to the surface. Amen. So let it go and replace it with praise. Amen. Number seven, my point is, we have the Comforter. Spend time with God. If you've been born again, especially, learn to let the Holy Ghost comfort you in a hard time when you're going through it. Amen. To be honest with, be honest with God. Tell God how you feel. If you feel terrible, get alone with God. Tell God, I feel terrible. If you're mad at God, God forbid, but if you're mad at Him because of something that happened and you're letting that human emotion get the best of you, tell God, God, I'm so mad at you, I can't hardly even talk to you. Do you know God understands that? But don't just stop there. Begin to work with God. Talk with Him. Let God work in your life. And don't listen to any lie that says you aren't worthy or you don't deserve it. God loves you, and you are worthy. You've been bought with a price. He gave His life for you. Amen. You've been made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. You are worthy, and God loves you, and He wants to help you. So you have to allow Him to comfort you. And number nine, we must turn our agony to victory. We have to move forward, get things done, seize something better that's ahead of you, and turn the page, turn the next chapter of your book. Amen. Because it's still being written. God's getting you through it, even if you don't know it. And so move forward with that understanding. Point number 10, we must learn to praise God for all things, even the worst things that happen to us. Quit being a victim. That's only going to hurt you. Amen. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. That's only going to hurt you. It's a natural human emotion and reaction. But quit doing that. Eventually, you've got to rise up and say, thank you, God. If you're hurting, if you got pain so bad you can't stand it, have you ever considered praising God for your pain? If you've lost something, have you ever considered praising God for your loss? Take it to the core of the hurt and begin to praise God, and watch what the healing balm of Gilead will begin to do to you when you begin to praise Him for the very thing that's trying to destroy you. It may sound strange, but praise Him for the things that have come against you. And when you do that, oh my God, the victory that's there. Point number 11 I wanted to bring out is, we must simply get over it. We have to get to the place that we want deliverance and victory more than we want sympathy and empathy. It's one thing to suffer loss or tragedy. It's one thing to do that, but it's another thing to let go of it and get over it. Because you have to get to the place that you're willing to do that in order to fully. If you had a physical malady today, if you had a broken bone, if you had a damaged nerve, if you had a muscle tear or something like that, a lot of things, a severe toothache, etc., there are physical things that you got to do in order for it to heal up. It's the same thing emotionally. Let it begin to work in you and make up your mind, I'm going to get over it. If professional athletes that play basketball, baseball, football, etc., if they didn't get over the aches and pains along the way, they would retire before their career gets off the ground, because they're going to suffer some things. But as soon as they start getting an injury of some kind, most of the time it's immediately they go into recovery, they go in for therapies, etc., because their whole goal is, I can come back in 6 weeks, etc., if I do that. Be having that kind of mind made up with the things going on in you, for the hurts, the emotions, the damage done to you mentally, and etc. Number 12, we must discover the beauty in our testimony. No trial is pleasant. Nobody is a glutton for punishment. Nobody enjoys going through hell on earth. It can happen. It can happen. I was driving in my car. I preached in the San Antonio area. It's been some months back. I was driving in my car, Pastor. I've ministered to a lot of people. I've ministered to a lot of churches. I thought I was okay, you know. I think I am. I try. And I was driving in my car, and I never listened to the radio, virtually never. Well, I turned the radio on. I'm listening to the radio, and it's a veteran, and he's talking about his experiences with post-traumatic stress disorder. And he was talking about how it affected him and his relationship of marriage with his children and his work and other things. He began to talk about his reactions and on and on and on. And then he began to talk about how that he sought help, overcome it. Now he's doing great. And it's a wonderful thing. But here's the thing. I'm driving my car, and the more he talked, the more I realized, my God, that's what I've got that. And here I am. I mean, I didn't know. But boy, it started making sense. Oh, that's why I reacted like that. That's why I felt like that. You've got to be willing to look for answers. And then there's beauty in your testimony. Oh, my God. Because God will bring you through it. And when he brings you through it, you will have a testimony as an overcomer. It will become your crown of life. The Bible talks about crowns of life. What's a crown of life? It's when something insurmountable comes against you and you overcome it. And once you overcome it, that becomes your testimony. Amen. You know, if people come in off the streets and someone maybe visits this church, the worst thing could ever happen would be for them to come to church in here. And then maybe they got a real need going on in their life, so they come here looking for help, and they bump into about 50 of us, and as soon as we mention, maybe I mention what's going on with me, they say, people in church, I can't relate to that. No, I've never had no experience with that. Oh, no, wrong place. You're in the wrong place. But if they can walk in here and find somebody that's gone through what they're going through, but God brought you through it, and you can tell them what God did for you, it brings hope. Your testimony is the end result of getting through something. All of a sudden, it's worthwhile. Praise God. Praise God. So make sure that you discover the beauty of your testimony. When God delivers you, don't hide it in a corner. Don't put it under a bushel, but brag on Jesus and what he has done. I want to share one of those with you, several of those with you this morning. So far, I've just talked little bit. But now I want to just kind of bring it home. I mentioned earlier that I had been burned when I was 5 or 6 years old. Severely burned. Changed my whole life. I'm very fortunate that I don't have a lot of facial scars. But it affected my life. It affected me all through school. I was a very, very good athlete, but there were certain sports that I had to stop because of skin irritation and things. Football. I was a good sprinter and things, but it made life tough. I wouldn't go to swimming parties and things with the kids in school because I didn't want the girls to see my scars, and, you know, and you have a lot of things going on and you just don't realize, you know. Used to wonder who would marry me and things like that, and man, it works on you. So finally, God blessed me, and I'm born again. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized in the name of the Lord, and I'm living for God with all my heart. I've got a beautiful wife, Monica, and we're in our mid-20s. I've got two little children, Heath and Brooke, and we were at my mother's house, and we were sitting on the side of my mother's bed, and mother brings out a box of memorabilia, and it's stuff that me and my siblings made in school, things only a mother would keep, but special to us, and special memories, and pictures, and stuff like that. And I'm going through this box, and I'm sitting on my mother's bedside, and I'm showing them the Monica, and we're laughing, and I'm pulling stuff out. Oh, my God, I remember making that in the fourth grade, you know, stuff like that, and just laughing, having a good time. I pulled out the next item, and it was a little plastic baggie with something red inside it. Man, I'm happy. I'm living for God. Everything's good. My kids are playing on the floor. Don't have a problem in the world that I'm thinking of at the moment. And the moment I pulled that baggie out, Immediately, I screamed as loud as I could. I threw that baggie across the wall. It hit the wall on the other side of the room. I fell off of the bed, and within 3 seconds max, from the time that I saw the baggie in my hand, I'm on the floor, curled up in a fetal position, screaming, and all the hell of my life has come back on me again. And I wouldn't have known what was in that baggie. I don't know how I could have known, except that my mind knew, and it was a trigger. Veterans, they might call it shell shock. Counselors would call it a trigger. An episode of abuse or something that happened to you years ago, and all of a sudden something triggers that again. It triggered me. But here's the thing. I thought I was fine. I thought, hey, I'm a child of God. All things are made new. I'm born again. Old things have passed away, you know. I'm happy. Hey, I could go to jail services, which I did every week. I was telling my testimony. I would go in there to these people in the jail, many of them in there hardened criminals, and I would go in there in the service, and I would tell my testimony, and they would break down and cry. I could talk about it. I talked about it all the time. If you would have asked me, I was working for an engineering company, I had a beautiful family, everything going good. If you would have asked me, Fred Childs, do you have a problem? I said, no, all is well, under the blood. God took care of it. That's what I thought, and that's what most of you in here think right now. You think, well, I'm a born-again child of God, because as soon as I got the Holy Ghost, I swept it under the carpet and I left it behind me and moved forward like it never happened. And that's exactly where our problem is. And God used a baggie with a red garment inside, a little piece of red garment, to change my life. Well, let's explain that, Brother Childs. I'll tell you what it was. The day that I was burned so severely, when my precious brother tripped me in the backyard, when my mother ran out and pulled my clothes off, when I got to the hospital and they overdosed me on drugs and 2 wrong blood transfusions and on and on and on. Mom came home, and not knowing if I would live or die, Mom took that little red remnant of shirt and tucked it away and later on put it in a baggie and later on put it in that box. And 20 years later, with a wife and little children beside me, I pulled out that baggie and I saw that little red garment as my mind picked it up. And I threw it away. I didn't want any part of it. And as soon as I threw it, fell on the floor, I came off of that floor in shock. Because here's what it was. I was happy. I was fine. I thought all is well. I thought God had already fixed everything. And then I realized, no. God used an insignificant baggie with what was left of a little shirt that could have been my death shirt. And God used that because he loved me too much to leave me like I was in a saved condition. And God let me face my fear. And God showed me, I know what's inside you, even if you don't know it yourself. But if you'll let me, I'll heal you. I'll fix you. And I came off that floor praising God, marveling that that was inside me, because he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I began to forgive people I didn't know I needed to forgive. And I began to undo things that trauma and tragedy had put into me. And I began to be an overcomer like I was supposed to be. And you might not think that's a great story, but it is. In fact, I didn't see that baggie again for many, many, many years. And when my stepfather passed away, after the funeral, I came to my mom's house and she broke that box out again. And after many, many years, something like 18 years, I pulled that baggie out. And there it is. And in this little baggie, there's that little shirt. It don't mean much to you, but that was a little shirt I was wearing the day I almost died. I actually unfolded it that day when I pulled it out. I was amazed at how little it was and that I ever fit in that thing. I was amazed there was this much of it left. When I opened it up, dust came off, fell all over me, and that was from my melted flesh that was all over the shirt that they, Mom, put it away. There's holes in it from where I was severely burned. Anyway, if God can use this for me, what would it take for God to trigger you and let you know, I could do a whole lot in you if you'd just let me do it? What would it take? Maybe someone does something that causes you to be angry or afraid, etc. God's not doing it to hurt you. He's doing it because he loves you. This stays in my bed nightstand by my bed every night. And on the way here, going to teach with pain, grief, loss, I thought I'm going to take the baggie with me. Because, see, this don't hurt me no more. It's my testimony now. And as badly as I'd love to have gone through life without hurt, but you know what? For what it's done in me now, I might not be the man I am today if it wasn't for the journey of pain that I came through. And all I can say, praise God. Somebody here feel like saying praise God? Because you too can get through it. Yes, you can. No matter how many years it takes. I have a brother, younger brother, Darren, 53 years old. Darren, something went wrong here. Darren came out 6'4". Darren came out real handsome. I love my little brother, my big little brother. I told you, you know, sometimes life's not fair. Darren was very talented, smart, physically gifted young man. Age of 27, he was 50 feet up in the air on a platform in a refinery, and they were installing a fin fan. That's one of those big fans, commercial cooling. And it weighed over 57,000, almost 58,000 pounds. And while lowering it, he was under there directing, going to make some connections. The crane operator made a human error and dropped the full load right on top of my brother. My brother was underneath it. It would have crushed him like a bug, except there was steel there that held it off of him, didn't kill him. But the full weight of over 57,000 falling pounds hit him right on top of the head on his hard hat, immediately burst 20 vertebrae. Irreparably, most of them never been able to repair. Immediately, I mean, his life changed like that. Destroyed his shoulders, destroyed his knees. What a horrible sentence. For 27 years, Darren has been with pain. I don't think he's ever been a day without pain, a moment without pain. He takes all kinds of medications. He has to. If you saw an X-ray of his back, you would think that Darren he'd make Frankenstein envious. You'd wonder how he moves. Sheer determination and the fact that nothing has completely severed his spinal cord. Almost happened a few years ago. He had to have surgery to correct it. They said, one move and your spinal cord's severed from the neck down. So he's gone through so much. He's 53 years old, and he has to walk with a cane. To see him get up is painful. And sometimes he'll be talking to you, and he'll just freeze. Work out the pain and come back to the conversation. For 27 years, my brother's been like that. All those years. How you doing, Darren? I'm okay. Hurting? Yeah, I'm really hurting today. But his next word will be, but I'm healed. The Lord is my healer. How you feeling? I'm healed. It just hadn't happened yet. That was his attitude. God's going to do it. I've never heard him one time be bitter about it. I've never heard him curse the day he was born, and he could have. I've watched him go through hard things, but I've never heard him get mad at God. He had a right to, according to humanistic thinking. Let me just say this. A month and a half ago, I was speaking in a little church in East Texas, Brooklyn, Texas. My mother, my stepdad, and my brother go there. And his daughter and her boyfriend or fiance were there. And church was pretty much over. We were having a good move of God. And on this side of the platform, Darren come forward. And he's standing out front, and I'm on the platform. I'm just exhorting. It was just about to dismiss, and I said, Darren, remember that time years ago when I was preaching and I told him what church I was at? You came, and I said, remember when I said, Darren, I think God's healing virtues on you. I think he's going to touch your shoulders because he's having real shoulder pain. And in the congregation that day, Darren stood out there. He responded. He started going like this. And then he stands up, starts putting both shoulders. I said, remember that time? And the moment he did that, God healed my brother's shoulders. And so I was just reminding him, remember that? I'm telling the story. And my brother Darren said, no. From down there, he looked at me. He said, no, that's not what happened. No, it wasn't like that at all. And I'm thinking, oh, my, it was. And he starts going. He said, I didn't go like that. And, man, he starts going way faster than that with both shoulders. He said, man, I went like that. And when he did, the Holy Ghost hit him. And before the whole church, we watched as that young man threw that cane down and began to shake as the power of God came on him. He began to jump up and down like a young man. He came up the steps. It's a high platform. And he came up about four steps down, up, down, up, down. He began to run around the sanctuary. He was so happy. He hadn't run in 27 years. But he ran outside the church. You could hear him laughing inside the church. He was laughing so loud as he ran around the church. He come back in. He runs to the platform. He said, Fred, shake my hand. He's crying. He could shake your hand, but for 27 years, he'd not been able to close his hand. He had no grip. And he grabbed my hand, and like I said, oh, Darren, he like to broke my hand. He said, I got my grip back. I'm trying to tell you that God, since then, that it's been confirmed. His back's getting straighter. Things straightened out. God healed my brother after 27 years of pain and suffering. He was at the funeral the other day, but he wasn't walking like a cripple. He's normal now. Why? Because God knows what you're going through. If you can praise him while you're going through it. Somebody stand to your feet and begin to give God praise. Yes, it hurt. Yes, it wasn't fun. Yes, you didn't want to go through it. But my God is worthy of all praise, and my God shall deliver me. Somebody clap your hands and shout unto God. And if you're dealing with grief this morning, if you're dealing with sorrow and loss, if you're dealing with pain and suffering, why don't you come and begin to give it to the one that bore it all on his cross and is able to set you free?